Like magic.
The World Bank estimates it could lift tens of millions.
Cat, she's down. With the things that could have been or oppressed. And you close the door on so many men.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is March the 28th, 2023. And it is 1905 UTC here. I'm on the roof, bringing you the news from the roof. Sorry about the delay there. I'm looking out on a sea of solar panels, so I'm going to walk away from that other building where all the solar panels are. There's a lot of activity. You may have heard as I was walking up, I had to mute the microphone, and I was having a little trouble with that because a lot of people out and about in the hallways, a lot of people Marcusing it up, you know. The cause, there's some pop-up stuff, there's some disturbances on campus, so essentially sometimes company merchandise goes on sale, so people are leaving their desks to try and get in line to buy, you know, stuff. So anyway, let me just jump on over into comm and see what's happening, and then we can get into some news, because that's what we're all here for. It's time for news, you know. So go over to SDF. Also, shout out to membership, or for the admins at SDF, for getting the MetaRay back online. Wonk. Alright, here we go. Just launch comm, just type COM, press enter, type G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, and boom. You'll be in the Anon Radio Room with all the cool cats, like Gerbilfat and Ratsu and Raleigh. Hey, Raleigh, A.E. and F-Fog, and probably Tobe and all sorts of other people. So, hello, Ratsu. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're having a blast. There's always stuff going on. But, and exile, too. But let's jump into it. We got people, we got places, and we got things. So now it's time to jump on into some news. So what we do, go to Firefox, go over there to our bookmarks, and we go to bookmarks menu, news to me, March 28th. Alright, so we start with death, destruction. That's usually how this thing works. So, first in Mexico, there's been a fire at a migrant detention facility in Mexico that's killed at least 39 people. Dozens of people have been killed and injured after a fire broke out in an immigration detention facility in northern Mexico, near the U.S. border. The blaze is one of the deadliest incidents at an immigration lockup in the country's history, and occurred late Monday at a facility in Ciudad Juarez, across the border from El Paso, Texas. Images from the scene showed ambulances, firefighters, and vans from the morgue around the smoke-covered facility, with rows of bodies lying under shimmery silver sheets. At least 39 people died in the fire, and 29 injured people were taken to hospitals. Wow, it is strong. It is mighty windy. We're getting strong gusts up here on the roof. And we're not even the tallest building. Well, I guess so. We're near the top of a hill, and we are the tallest building on the hill. So I guess that's where you get the wind. Anyway, sorry about that, guys. There's just going to be wind noise. Currywurst is not bad. Hey, Zen Floater 2, welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here in LCD. Hadn't seen you around in a while. And, let's see. Ooh, currywurst sounds pretty good. I had beef tips and gravy with Brussels sprouts for lunch, so that was pretty good. Brussels sprouts are one of my favorites these days. Whatever variety is out there now, I kind of want to go buy a whole bunch of them because they're so good. Anyway, I like them roasted, but unfortunately, bad taste given the story at hand. So the facility was holding 68 adult men from Central and South America. Mexico's Attorney General's office launched an inquiry and has investigators at the scene. Let's see. Guatemala said on Tuesday that 28 of its nationals are believed to die in the incident. The Mexican president said the fire began during a protest by the migrants inside the facility. They put mats at the door of the shelter and set them on fire as a protest and didn't imagine that it would cause this terrible tragedy. Oh, even worse. Al Jazeera couldn't independently verify the president's claim. Erica Guevara Rosas, America's director at Amnesty International on Tuesday, called for an investigation to establish the facts. The National Immigration Agency said it energetically rejects the actions that led to this tragedy. If I find out anything else, I'll let you know, but that is extra sad if they were protesting and set the building on fire on themselves. Beef bouillon, beef bolognese, beef stir fry, beef, that's what's for dinner. Hey Publius, yeah, it's, unfortunately, prisoners appear to be extremely flammable, which is not what you want to do when you're setting a fire to protest. Don't be flammable, I guess. Will we learn our lesson? Probably not. So now, more destruction. French strikes. Protests kick off in France as Macron stands firm on pension reform. Who would have thought? The people don't stop complaining until they get what they want. This is good stuff. This is good for the people. Bad for the government, and it sucks that they're having to do this. But France Tuesday braced for another day of strikes and protests, with President Emmanuel Macron remaining defiant over the controversial pensions reform that has sparked turmoil in the country. The day of action, called by unions, is the 10th such mobilization since protests started in mid-January against the law, which includes raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. The last such day of strikes and protests on Thursday saw the most violent clashes yet between protesters and security forces, as tensions erupted into pitched battles on the streets of Paris. Nearly 2 weeks after Macron ran the new pension law through Parliament, using a special provision that sidesteps a vote, unions have vowed not to let up in mass protests to get the government to back down. The state visit to France was delayed. We talked about that. Let's see. Macron has accused the hard left France Unbowed party of carrying out a real project to delegitimize reasonable order, our institutions, and their tools. Of course, if you bypass Parliament to pass laws, you kind of have disregarded all the you don't have any standing to be like, you should respect rules. In Afghanistan, girls' education activists have been arrested. A prominent Afghan campaigner for female education has been arrested by the Taliban, even as teenage girls and women remain barred from classrooms. Matula Wesa, 30, had often received threats. He had spent years traveling across Afghanistan trying to prove access to education for all children. The Taliban wouldn't say why Mr. Wesa is in custody. His house was also raided. His arrest follows the detention of a number of other activists who've been campaigning for women's education. I just wanted to mention that story because it's one of those things that, you know what, it's easy to not even notice, or you don't have time to click on and read that story too. There's so much news, but I think it's important. And a little out of order, but I meant to put this after the French story, is the protests going on in Kenya. Yeah, you probably didn't hear about that one. I don't know, unless you're a big African news hound like me. Kenya police fired gas and water cannon at protesters and opposition leader Raila Odinga's convoy on Monday as he pressed ahead with an anti-government rally despite a ban. The protesters defied a warning by the Inspector General of Police that the demonstrations in Nairobi and the western city of Kisumu and Odinga stronghold were illegal. The opposition stalwart has called for protests every Monday and Thursday against the government of President William Ruto, who he claims stole election last year and is failing to address the high cost of living. We are tired of Ruto's government. Ruto should look at the price of maize flour, or else we will continue demonstrating, said Emily, a protester. We want the price of cooking flour to go down. Ruto has been unable to reduce the price of flour, so we want Ruto to step down because he's been able to reduce the price of flour. We want him to step down and go back to Sugoi, referring to his residence, added another protester. Security was tight with riot police deployed in strategic points. Tear gas and water cannon were used. Let's see. Trying to see. The rest of it's just quotes from protesters talking about their grievances. Oh, man. Let's see what we got going on in Khan. yeah, when all your people are on strike, your legitimacy is to the moon. Let's see what Publius has here. Let's see. LCD's from El Paso, just north of Juarez, and it's sad to hear that happened. Yeah. Article 49.3, or whatever it was called, was written specifically to be used by Charles de Gaulle, and they failed to remove it when he died. Oh. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't think I want to allow a lot of people in my moon colony, which, of course, will be nuclear-powered. All right, so let's keep on rolling. There's other news, more sadness. Still in Africa, and this I just thought was interesting well, that's kind of a weird thing to do. I wonder why. A huge number of unknown persons on Monday stormed the family farm of Kenya's former president, Uhuru Kenyatta. The group cut down his trees using saws, stole livestock, and set the farm on fire. The motive is still unknown. However, earlier last week, sources said that Kenyan Kwanzaa leaders intended to organize locals to swarm his property. These politicians have been blaming the president for supporting the current Azimio Wing protests. In an interesting initiative intended to pressure the William Ruto-led administration to decrease living expenses, Raila Odinga and his Azimio allies are set to swarm the city this afternoon. These are the people who were protesting earlier. But I just thought this was very weird. This is an interesting way to protest. We're going to go to the former president's house and messing around with it. So we'll see what happens there. I think It's been a long time since any of the Western countries have really revisited their constitutions and what makes their country their country. So maybe we'll get that. Maybe we won't. There's so much money out there now and so many entrenched powers. It would it'd take some serious business to make any to make it happen, I think. Anyway, let's not talk about revolution. Let's talk about school shootings because, well, there was another one. This time in the U.S. city of Nashville, state of Tennessee, three children and three adults were killed in a shooting by an ex-student at the school. The attack took place at the Covenant School, a private Christian school for students aged 3 to 11. The three pupils who died were all 9 years old. Police said the suspect, armed with three guns, gained entry by shooting through a door at the school. Video footage shows officers racing through the school to find the shooter. The child victims were named. The adult victims were named. The suspect, identified as 28-year-old Audrey Hale, was shot dead by the police. There's been some confusion about Hale's gender identity, with police initially describing the attacker as a woman and later saying that Hale identified as transgender. A police spokesperson told the Washington Post that Hale is a biological woman who on social media profile used male pronouns. Hale, who had no criminal record, was a former student at the school, and officers said they believe resentment may have been a motive. The shooter was armed with three guns, including a semi-automatic rifle. Police also found a manifesto, a detailed map of the school, and plans for other attacks, including on a Nashville mall. The incident unfolded Monday morning, around 10:13 local time. Police said the suspect drove to the school and got in by firing through one of the school doors, which were all locked. The shooter is seen wearing what's like a protective vest and carrying an assault-style rifle. As police arrived, Hale fired on them, striking one in the windscreen. Body camera footage on Tuesday, released today, showed officers rushing inside and confronting them. And then Hale was dead by 10:27 local time. I want to take a second and say that it's pretty cool that the BBC is just using the attacker's name as opposed to risking misgendering the person. I thought that was interesting. Anyway, police found additional weapons, including a sawed-off shotgun and a second shotgun at the house. Hale had reportedly messaged a former middle school basketball teammate 15 minutes before the attack, writing, "I've left more than enough evidence behind, but something bad is about to happen." Their mother, Norma Hale, told ABC News, "It's very, very difficult right now," before asking for privacy. So another school shooting, very sad, senseless, but the body count, low by U.S. standards, so at least that's a kind of a silver lining, I guess. It's 1920 UTC, so it means it's almost time for music, maybe? I don't know. We've got a lot more news to cover. We've got a lot of tech news today, so I think we'll probably skip a song. So let me just remind you, at 1930 UTC, in 10 minutes, that's right, in just a mere 10 minutes, in just 10 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. And, it's a lot of fun. There's shows at 20 hours. Just hit the equal sign and com. You'll see all the things you need to see, the schedule. You can also go to anonradio.net if you are so inclined. There's a lot going on and a lot of fun. Just wanted to give you the heads up there. It's always kind of one of those things. The school that did reportedly do like active shooter drills. So they may have been more prepared than some schools that don't do those. Seems kind of a traumatic thing for young kids. It's like, oh yeah, in kindergarten we were told somebody's gonna come and try and kill you, so hide under your desk. That's kind of a wild time. Oof, this wind is something else. I keep trying to move so I can be like kind of more covered, but not really happening. So let's see. All right, so let's go into some tech news. There's a lot going on. First, in the UK, come on, commercial development of gene-edited food now legal in England. So not the UK, but in England. Excuse me, I don't want to upset any members of the Commonwealth. Gene-edited food can now be developed commercial in England following a change in the law. Supporters of the technology say it will speed up the development of hardier crops that will be needed because of climate change. Critics say the change could bring disaster to their food production and the environment. Gene editing involves making precise changes to an organism's DNA to enhance certain characteristics. The new law also opens the door to the development of gene-edited farm animals, but a further vote by MPs will be required before it's allowed. Again, only in England. The Scottish, Welsh, and Northern Irish governments have not permitted the commercial use of gene editing. Gene editing in England has been covered under the same tight regulation that has restricted the commercial development of GM crops under EU law. Brexit enabled the Westminster government to relax the rules for newer technology. The chief scientific advisor for the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, Professor Gideon Henderson, says the new rules will lead to better food production and bring jobs and investment to England. So, we'll see what happens. If you live in England, let us know if you grow any extra limbs or have any other major side effects. Nutated food. Let's see. Do not forget your seatbelt while in a car, and forget the nets at school if you want the safest option. Yep. Hey, Raul. Welcome. Yeah, so we'll see what happens with the genetic altered food there in England. I mean, we eat it all the time in the United States here, and it doesn't seem to cause any... It's not like you're going to get genetically mutated or something. It's just a matter of whether or not the food is as nutritious or as good for you. So... we'll find out. I mean, we'll figure it out one way or another. It's better to try it than to not, I guess. Let's talk about space. OneWeb launched complete space internet project. London-based company OneWeb has launched the final set of satellites it needs to deliver a broadband internet connection anywhere on Earth. The 36 spacecraft went up on an Indian LVM-3 rocket from the Sriharikota spaceport in Andhra Pradesh. Their deployment, 450 kilometers above the planet, takes OneWeb's total in-orbit constellation to 618. It's less than 3 years ago that the UK government took the decision to buy OneWeb out of bankruptcy. At the time, it was seen as a controversial move. Arguments raged about whether it was a sound use of taxpayer money. But since that purchase, OneWeb has managed to attract significant additional investment and is even now planning a next generation of satellites. This is the most significant milestone in the history of OneWeb. It will take some months for the Sunday's batch of satellites to be tested and to get in the right part of the sky, but when they're in position, OneWeb will have the facility to deliver global communication service. Only one other organization in the world is flying more satellites in space today, and that's Starlink. Unlike the Starlink system operated by Elon Musk, OneWeb is not selling broadband connections direct to the individual users. Its clients, principally, are the telecom companies that provide this internet service. They might also be employing the connectivity to supplement or expand the infrastructure of their mobile phone networks. So, I thought that was cool. We've only got about 4 minutes to go. It's still very bright out here. Let's see, Raleigh's got a one-day conference in Brisbane today, so gotta go soon. Anyway, sorry you're going to miss the Dubious Goals Committee, Raleigh, but thanks for being here and hanging out tonight with Saul. Alright, so that was one thing. I got to hurry, we got other tech news to talk about. Five planets are going to light the sky in a neat astronomical phenomenon. Essentially, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Uranus align and light up the sky on Tuesday. According to multiple media reports, the planets will be most visible to the naked eye in the night sky on March 27th and 28th, depending on where you are on the Earth. However, last Friday, Venus was clearly visible from Singapore, sailing up to the new crescent moon and seeming to almost touch it. I saw a lot of pictures online of people saying, "What is this? What's this by the moon? Oh my god, the world's ending!" It's like, no, it's Venus. Venus, Sailor Mercury. Anyway, I like the Sailor Scouts. Okay, so because we're running low on time, I'll just tell you, Twitter has announced that you have to have a paid-for verified blue check mark to vote in polls and to do some other stuff, it appears. To be featured on their, to be featured on like their For You page or the highlights page or whatever. But the cool part is our two pieces of nuclear news. First, the CGN, that's Charlie Golf November, Hua Long 1 reactor has entered commercial operation. Unit 3 of the Fengchengang nuclear power plant in China's Guangxi Autonomous Region has entered commercial operation, China General Nuclear announced. The unit is the first of two CGN-designed Hua Long 1 HPR-1000 reactors at the site. The 1,180 megawatt energy gross pressurized water reactor completed a 168-hour trial test run at 6:55 a.m. on the 25th of March, officially meeting the conditions for commercial operation. Fengcheng Nuclear will also obtain certificates for all the requirement, all the different certificates they need to work. Under normal circumstances, the time when the relevant procedures have been completed will be determined as the time when the unit commences its commercial operation. So, very exciting. I like it anytime new nuclear power comes into onto the grid, any country's grid. It's pretty cool. And in Belarus, the Belarus Nuclear Power Plant's Unit 2 has reached the minimum controllable power level with a self-sustaining controlled nuclear reaction. The Ministry of Energy posted on its Telegram channel, the unit's reactor plant was brought to the minimum controllable power level of 1% of the nominal one. From that moment, the life cycle of the reactor plant began, as the nuclear scientists say the heart of the reactor began to beat. So, Russia's Rosatom, which is building the new unit, said it's now possible to proceed to the final part of tests of the power unit, physical startup stage, to confirm compliance with the design and clarify the rated neutron and physical characteristics of the reactor's first fuel loading. So, very cool. I'm excited about that. So anyway, I just wanted to give you the heads up there. Computers are unnecessary except for comm, 100%. In theory, we could increase the efficiency